This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 261. Today, we start year six of the podcast. I actually thought about ending. I'm watching because I'm actually at my parents' house. Because I had bought my dad a little hearing amplifier thing. And so I had just run over here real quick to help him get that going. That's a whole story. We eventually got the piece of the hearing aid that popped off in his ear, extracted from his ear. And then we went back to see the hearing aid in place, and so he's working on a different hearing aid for Dad, and this has been a whole story. But anyways, in the meantime, Dad's stuck without any hearing aids, and so I went ahead and picked him up just a little personal amplifier off Amazon.com so he could work with that. So I ran over here today to kind of show him how that worked, and so it seems to be working, and $125. Woohoo! So, as opposed to $5,000 for hearing aids. But you know, obviously, those hearing aids are much more sophisticated than this little personal amplifier. But the little personal amplifier is working for now. So, if this keeps Dad hearing for the next 2 weeks, then good is good. Good is good. Anyways, I had considered going ahead and wrapping it up. In case you hear a lot of wind noise today, we actually have a storm moving in today. I don't know if it's going to quite be the storm that I've been secretly hoping for. Because I need a new roof on my house, and I happen to have replacement value on my house, and I would not be disheartened if I had a big thunderstorm come through and it gave my roof hail damage. That would not disappoint me at all. Although I know it would be very disappointing for many insurance companies, and I am aware of that, and so I can't really say it's something that I'm openly hoping for. But if the weather doesn't cooperate and I don't get my roof sufficiently hail damaged to where the insurance company pays for it, then I'm going to be paying for it, and I have a big enough house that it's actually going to be about $12,000. So, you know, that's the way it goes when you live in a big house, which, thankfully, we've set aside the money, we're gonna be okay. Anyways, I am driving home from my parents today, and so this is gonna be a little shorter than normal. I started to say something. I am tired today. I've been in meetings all week doing interviews and collecting notes, just back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings. I had 5 one-hour meetings today, just back-to-back, and I took notes on all of those, and I was doing research for the rest of the afternoon, and so, yeah, I'm a little blitzed. Anyways, I know that, I made that pothole. I didn't know that one there. I don't usually drive this way. Anyways, I had actually considered, wow, there's more potholes on this road. I had actually considered stopping after the 5-year anniversary podcast, because I thought that one was kind of fun, and I was thinking, well, you know, I might go ahead and stop. Because that's one of the problems with this. I don't know when I'm supposed to stop. And then I got to thinking, you know, you don't really have a diary, per se. So maybe I'll just, like, do this in lieu of a diary, and I can talk about what's going on and talk about a few interesting topics, maybe. And, you know, that could be my diary. Because someday, they're going to have really, really good speech-to-text algorithms. And I just noticed that the recorder isn't quite pointing directly at me, so I'm going to move it. Here we go. There we go. someday they're going to have really, really good speech-to-text conversion. It's pretty good now, but someday they're going to have a really good. And it will be ubiquitous. And somebody, a grandchildren, a great-grandchild, a great-great-grandchild, if they care, which who knows if they will actually care. If they care, we'll be able to take all of these audio files and just point the speech-to-text algorithm machine-y at them, and we'll just convert them all. Since that is going to happen someday, this could be like my little diary. It probably won't be written like it would be written if I actually wrote it out, but that's okay too. This is more real and live. So anyways, all is well. The new project I'm involved with is going well. The research and the interviews with the people this week have all been good. I seem to be connecting with people, and what I'm talking about seems to strike a chord with people. And so far, everybody seems to be on board. And so all of that is really good. Now we just have to come up with some real solutions, and then we can go from there. And of course, that will lead to all kinds of discussions about how we're going to come to those realization or solutions and how we're going to build. But it's good. It's good. Everything's fine. I'm puttering along with the writing. Last week I wasn't actually sure if I was going to make my 5,000 words because I was behind last week. But I actually did get to my 5,000 words last week. I'm not extremely behind this week. I think I'm about 230 words or so off my mark. But that's mainly because I got a touch of food poisoning. You know, you eat fruits and vegetables long enough, you're probably going to run into that E. coli bacteria sooner or later, or one of its cousins. And in fact, I ran into it Tuesday night. I made myself a standard salad, salad that I eat all the time. I'd done my thing, and I think it was the kale, because the kale was getting a little old. I had eaten on it for like a week, and I'm pretty sure it was probably the kale. in fact, I seem to recall that some of it had a few little black spots on it. But yeah, so about 5 hours after that, I was up that night at midnight getting rid of the kale and getting rid of the rest of it. And then, of course, for the whole next day, I was nauseated, lightly nauseated. And then pretty much by the time I woke up Wednesday, I was back in the race again. Which really gives you an appreciation for when everything is functioning normal. Because I woke up Wednesday morning and I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I live a life where I have plenty of energy and I have a few little aches and pains here. But, all in all, it's good. My life is good. It's just good. So I'm very grateful for life Wednesday morning, that things had kind of straightened themselves around, and frankly, I was very grateful every day since. I do have a little, I don't know if I should talk about that. We'll talk about it. I do have a little oddity that I haven't really mentioned to my wife that much because I don't want her to worry, but I have always had kind of weird heartbeats, and occasionally, I haven't really pinpointed when it happens. I'm thinking it happened this morning because I hadn't eaten that much on Tuesday because of the food poisoning I got into Monday night. So, all day Tuesday I was a little blitzed, so I just barely nibbled here and there. And of course, Wednesday is fast day, so I didn't eat anything on Wednesday. And I think I'm pretty certain that I was just didn't quite have enough nutrition in my body, and so my heart was, going bum 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 And it did that. I kind of woke up and it was doing that. And it did that until I got to the restaurant and got some food in me. And I think just before I got to the restaurant, it had settled down and everything was fine. It's fine. So, you know, if I keel over from a heart attack, I knew it was coming, but it really didn't concern me that much is what it comes down to. Just really didn't bother me that much that I might go see Jesus. But don't tell my wife that. Anyway, so all is well. Writing is good. Beloved wife is good. Kids are good. Grandkids are good. We dedicated my grandson on Sunday. That was good. Gathered the clan for it. Because Lizzie actually has three sets of parents. You know, Lizzie is my biological daughter, and so it's myself and my wife, and then Lizzie's biological mom, it's her and her husband, and then Alan's biological parents. So there's actually three sets of grandparents. We were there, and we had two sets of the great-grandparents there. So, you know, that was pretty cool. We had four generations of men there, and, you know, so it's fun. It's fun to see the years go by, and it's fun to see the kiddos growing up. My grandson did really well. He is very strong-willed, and he knows what he wants, and when he doesn't get it, he will let you know. But for the dedication service, he was an angel. And then I think he expended all his energy being an angel through that whole thing. He was one. He's turning one soon. And when we got him home, then he was ready to do something else. And my daughter, Elizabeth, couldn't really figure out what he was ready to do. So finally she just thought, you know, you must be really tired. And she went in, put him down, and he just went out. And he was out for hours. So he must have been really, really tired. Anyways, this week, I had come across a TED Talk several weeks ago. And this will probably dovetail into a TED Talk that I'm doing next week, probably, on Edward Snowden. Because Edward Snowden was part of a TED Talk. And then there was a subsequent TED Talk that was the NSA reacting to Edward Snowden's TED Talk. So, really interesting. And really interesting stuff in terms of who do you believe, blah, 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 blah. Fascinating stuff. And fascinating stuff in the context of the book I'm writing. Because this is going to be a topic of discussion in later books. This idea of fear and the relinquishing of freedom and survival. It's all going to be bound up in that. But for this week, there's something that is just as chilling as that, and actually in the same ballpark of topics, and that is, there was a TED Talk on government surveillance, and specifically a review by, I'm not going to get his name right, Christopher Soghoian, that's probably not it, Soghoian something, S-O-G-H-O-I-A-N. And his review of what he has discovered in his investigation of government surveillance techniques. He started off by talking about how the Arab Spring in 2011 really captured the world's attention, and it specifically captured the attention of authoritarian governments in other countries, because all of them were worried that, you know, revolution would spread. And he said there is the story that is told of one prominent Bahrainian activist who was arrested and tortured by his government. And he said that his interrogators showed him transcripts of his telephone calls and his text messages. Now, yeah, okay, we've kind of known for a while that telephone calls and text messages can be bugged. However, there are businesses now that are specifically targeting to produce software that they only sell to governments to create super hackers out of governments that normally would not have the IT resources to be able to put together these types of programs. This guy said there have now been, over the last few years, an industry of companies who provide surveillance technology to governments, specifically technology that allows those governments to hack into the computers of surveillance targets. And he said, rather than bother to intercept your communications over the wire, wow, there's a gorgeous thunderhead in the west. I mean, it's pretty. Big dark clouds, got a hook starting out of it, and you can see back in where the rain is coming. Fun stuff, fun stuff. The rest of the clouds, the rest of the sky is blue, quite fun stuff. Anyways, he said, rather than intercepting your communications over the wire, they now instead hack into your computer, enable your webcam, enable your microphone, steal documents from your computer. And he started naming off the companies that do them. One is called Gamma. He said it's a German company. He said it does sell only to governments, but it doesn't necessarily discriminate between governments. They're happy to sell to any government that's willing to give them money. And he did say at one point, which was quite amusing, he said, I should note that Gamma never actually sold their software to the Egyptian government during the Arab Spring. They sent them an invoice for sale, but the Egyptians never bought it. Instead, apparently, the Egyptian government used a free demo version of Gamma's software. And these packages are sophisticated enough that now they've solved the problems. In the past, it was if your webcam on your computer would turn on, the little blue light beside it would light up. But they've actually apparently solved that problem now, that your little blue light is not going to light up. You're going to have no way to know that your microphone's on. And they can just record stuff in your house and record stuff, anything that's seen on the webcam. And what's interesting is when they were doing an interview with one of the directors or one of the officials of this company, he said, here, look in the background. And this guy had a monitor that had a built-in webcam on it. And he had actually taken a little sticky note and put it over the top of that webcam because he knows what can be done now. And so he wasn't about to just leave an exposed webcam sitting there for anybody to hack into and take. Getting my mail, one moment. Just a second. Woot woot. Yay, it was from the IRS. So, you know, when you get a piece of mail from the IRS, you actually want to see what it is fairly quickly. But I'm actually getting an adjusted refund of $39.39. Apparently somewhere I added something up incorrectly. So, yay, it's always nice to get a refund. And I got me a little package. My wife has her a little package. I don't got me a little package. So anyways, Gamma is one of these companies. And there are other companies that do this type of thing as well. Another company is called Hacking Team. And Hacking Team has been actively courting police departments in the United States. And according to their video, basically they're across all platforms, Windows, OS X, iOS, Android, BlackBerry, Symbian, Linux, and they can just pretty much overcome any kind of encryption that you want and grab data, any relevant data, Skype, encrypted calls, target location, messaging, relationships, web browsing, audio and video. They are immune to any protection system, hidden collection infrastructure. In other words, they can go in and get out, and I'm backing into my garage. They can go in and get out, and you'll never even know that they were there because they can get past all the standard web browsers and I'm guessing they can get past all the standard antivirus stuff. And, you know, I mean, this stuff is like, what? What is going on? And they can deploy it all over the country. They talk about how up to hundreds of thousands of targets managed from a single spot. You know, and he said, I can't tell you where they have sold this software. He said, but if they haven't sold anything, it's not because they haven't been trying. And he said, now, little countries, they obviously don't have the resources, the IT resources to build this type of thing. He said, but certainly the United States does. And he said, so he had been doing some research to see if he could figure out what capabilities the United States actually has. And he said he was searching through a bunch of documents that had been heavily redacted. But he said this one term popped out in these documents, remote operations unit. And he said he actually found a gold mine in LinkedIn because people, when he went to LinkedIn, who had worked for the FBI, were describing on their resumes in detail the types of stuff that they worked on for this remote, what was it called? Remote operations unit. And in fact, he said the FBI does have all this capability too. And this guy's point in all this is that there really isn't any specifically passed, he says there's no law that's been specifically passed authorizing this technique. And because of its power and potential for abuse, it's vital that we have an informed public debate. So, I mean, this is the case of the technology has actually gotten ahead of the laws. And obviously you could make a right to privacy argument. But just as obvious to me, we are already in the brave new world. And I think people are very hopeful that, in fact, they can get laws passed that will address this. I know Edward Snowden in particular, and we'll talk about his talk next week, is very hopeful that we can take back the internet and that we can establish it and rules of privacy and yada yada. But honestly, I look at all this and I see how governments work, and I just think, yeah, I mean, it's all just coming. And, I mean, we're always going to have this dynamic between trying to secure something and somebody trying to break something. And it doesn't really matter, I think, how much we try to protect ourselves. If somebody wants to actually get to you and expose your secrets, that's going to happen. So what should the upshot of all this be? You know, I think we should live open lives. I think that we should not fear. There are certain things in my life that I share with my wife that I wouldn't necessarily want everybody in the world to be looking at us. But you know what? Those are things that are precious and wonderful to us, and they're glorious experiences. And at the end of the day, if somehow that got exposed, I'd say, well, the situation is that I love my wife and she loves me and we enjoy being together. And there you go. You know, and if someone, I think the exposure of stuff really comes down to we are afraid of condemnation, we are afraid of being ashamed. And all of those things underneath it all are driven by flesh. And so my process in all of this as to how it would affect me personally is really just to live an open life and to say, you know what, I'm not going to spend my days worrying about whether or not someone has hacked into my computer. I will certainly take the precautions I know to take, But at the end of the day, Jesus had a really interesting approach to all of this. And the really interesting approach that Jesus had to all of this is don't hold on tight to this world and the things of this world. He said, don't store up your treasures here because there's always going to be a robber that is going to try to break in and steal them. Instead of storing up your treasures here, store up your treasures in the kingdom, in heaven, because no one is going to be able to steal those things from you. And I think what we can take off that as a corollary is that if we live our lives in such a way that we are giving and that we are enjoying life and that we are making relationships and building relationships and living open lives, that, you know, if someone takes our stuff, at the end of the day, it's just stuff. And really, what's more important than just that stuff is our lives with Christ and our lives with each other and our lives with family. And it's that thing that really no one can steal. And so if we just focus more on that as opposed to being too greatly concerned about what are the hackers doing, you know, I think everything's going to be okay. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.